as well as domestic cards. Semi-live from a studio, this is View from the Bleachers. How we doing?
Who are you?
I'm Eric.
Oh.
Who are you?
I'm Eric.
Oh, good
hey.
One. Man, thank you for paying attention.
Hey.
Good
what
to see
you. Doing? What are you doing?
You know, this is what happens when I don't write down the intro.
Really?
I decide I'm going to wing it, and this is how it goes. Yeah, I'm not a winger, turns out. You should follow the script.
So many jokes there. I don't even
Go
know
ahead.
Where
yeah, to... lean, no, them, no, lean in.
Can't.
Is it just a little too early in the? All right, fine. Way to be a professional, man.
I'm trying to.
I appreciate that. Well, great.
Yes.
How are we doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah.
Not so heavy on the sports.
Well, it is June.
I mean, it's pure summer at this point, right? Like, it's picking strawberry season. It's finding weird mushrooms on your trees, like those big yellow oysters that look like foam insulation.
Yes.
That's the season.
Yes.
It's not so much the season for baseball.
Apparently, just rain.
Rain, yeah. It's been.
I don't remember the sun being out until now. I mean,
it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday evening, but yeah, summer, right? It is a summer thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Sports-wise, we are right smack dab in the middle of the, you know, the boring part of the baseball season, the before the trade deadlines happen, before you can officially say that your team is out of it, or just after your team gets excited about, like, say, a 14-game winning streak and then proceeds to lose 8 out of 10.
Like, is that your Brewers?
That's your Twins.
Oh, that's my Twins?
Your Twins, when we were...
I haven't even looked.
We were getting so excited about them a couple weeks ago because they had won, like, 14 in a row. And then they went up against the Brewers and lost a game.
Yep.
And somehow they lost all their mojo. They went from being very good to being now, I think they're like
They're 500.
I was just saying, are they hit 500? Because they were, at a certain point, they were like 8 games over 500.
Yep.
The hottest team in the majors.
Was.
It was. And then we got excited about the World Series with the Twins finally, and then they've gone back to the earth. Kind of underwhelming, but that's the season. I mean, that's baseball, right? Like anybody who watches enough baseball understands that
the last 10 games are 2-8.
That's not great.
No,
that's pretty underwhelming.
But that's your team, my team. That kind of
right. I mean, if you look at what the Brewers have done over their last 10, I'm guessing they're something like 5-5.
They are 5-5.
4-6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. Because before you even were about to ask me, hey, how are your Brewers doing? They're doing exactly the same as they have for the last
3 weeks.
Keep going.
Really?
Since they started out the season really bad.
But you were fairly optimistic last week that they were like going to turn the corner. And
they called up a prospect.
Yeah.
This is where you're at when you're a Brewers fan.
Yeah.
You get excited not about World Series victories. You don't get excited about division crowns. You get excited about prospects called up because that at least gives you that little bit of optimism. Just that touch of, ooh, they're doing it the right way. They called up Jacob Mizorowski. He's the, like, I believe it was 30th ranked prospect in all of baseball.
No.
The Brewers' number 3 prospect and the only one who's ready for the league. Like, he came in this last year. They looked at him as a relief pitcher.
Sure.
He's 6'6", throws the ball 103 miles an hour.
Nice.
He was the guy that hit in the minors before they called him up, had 6 straight pitches over 100 miles an hour and struck up the guy with 103 mile an hour heat. So he had his first game. Then he went 5 innings, tweaked his ankle, struck out 5, walked 4, got the win.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I'll take it. That it's some optimism.
I'm surprised to see the Cubs are still way up there.
That Cubs team has such
Who's their manager?
Every
time.
I wanted to say something nice about Craig Counsell, the manager for the Cubs. Former manager of the Brewers. Former player for the Brewers.
No, 1 year, really.
Yeah. Former my favorite baseball player. Former World Series champion.
Uh-huh.
Game winner in the World Series 2 times. And then he went to the dark side. He left my Milwaukee Brewers to go over to the Cubs. And I get it.
Didn't do well last year.
Did not, and I was happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. But now, this year, the second year in, he is
doing really well. They have spent a lot of money. They were doing things for Chicago that the Brewers ownership under Mark Antanasio never did.
Right.
Which was spend real money. Like, spend real money on an impact player. The Cubs did that. They signed free agent pitchers. They made a trade for Kyle Tucker, one of the best soon-to-be free agent hitters in all of baseball. They've done it correctly. So their minor league system is good. Their manager is fantastic, and they spend the money. So, yes, they have no reason they shouldn't win the National League Central this year. They really shouldn't. There's nobody else in that division that's really making a leap. That's really – the Reds were looked at as a team that might make a leap.
The Brewers are second.
Yes. Yeah. And about 5.5, 6 games behind, something like that?
6.5.
Yeah. Yep. The rest of that division –
Ladies
is,
and gentlemen, you notice how he knows all this stuff without really having to look at anything? Because he follows baseball. I don't follow my Twins as much as I should.
I spend more time than most reasonable adults should listening to sports radio. I wish. No, I forsake a lot of other things to just enjoy sports on my couch sometimes.
Yeah,
I've been a Brewers fan since 1982 is the year I was born. They made the World Series that year. And it's just been in my DNA to get excited about the Brewers, get excited, follow the stats.
Sure.
I can say the last, call it 10 years, really, of being a Brewers fan has been fantastic. They've had really good prospects that have done well. Considering they've made the playoffs like 7 out of the last 10 years, they've won 0 playoff series, which is hard. But, they were... Before Mark Antanasio took over, the Brewers were owned by Bud Selig, who, if you don't know, was a used car salesman who bought the Brewers on the super cheap from Seattle. When the Seattle Pilots folded in Seattle, Milwaukee got themselves a franchise. But the Milwaukee Braves had left. Bud Selig stepped up, brought the Brewers in. Brewers were really, really bad for a long time. Really bad. Not spending any money. Kind of a forgotten franchise.
Like the Oakland Athletics?
100%. Only the Oakland Athletics had World Series wins amongst their... They had Ricky Henderson. Yeah. They had Dennis Eckersley, Mark McGwire, Tony La Russa. They had a real team. For a long time, the A's were good. Even in the 70s, they had Dave Parker. They were a legit franchise. It wasn't until Bud Selig... finally sold the franchise when he became the commissioner of baseball.
Yeah.
And of course, anybody who paid attention to baseball when Bud Selig took over also knows that he just turned a blind eye to anything.
Bad.
He let the players get away with whatever. He let the owners not pay any attention to all the players on steroids and the things that were happening in baseball for a long time, because it also coincidentally made baseball really popular again.
Yeah.
Bud Selig is a Hall of Famer now. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame as a commissioner because of he took a sport that was dying. There was a strike in baseball that pretty much killed it.
Yeah.
The NFL took advantage of that and really shot to the top of everybody's, sports pantheon. We'll call it. Like, people paid attention now. Because then Bud Selig said, "Hey, bring on the steroids. Let's hit some home runs." And that summer with Sosa and McGwire was an amazing summer of sport.
Okay.
Really brought baseball to where we are now. So my Brewers have, they made a trade. They got rid of Aaron Civale earlier this week. He was a guy who, he was their fifth starter. He was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He was their highest paid pitcher at $8 million a year. Looked like a guy that could be traded anyway. When they moved him to the bullpen to bring up this Jacob Mizorowski, this prospect, they sent Savali to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. He's an 8-year vet, had never pitched out of the bullpen in college, he said, never in the pros. So he demanded a trade, which, fine. They traded him. They traded him to the Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox are doing
that. The White Sox are awful. They aren't the worst team in baseball, but they are amongst the worst teams in baseball. Somehow the Colorado Rockies are worse.
Are still bad?
Are still terrible. They're on the Colorado Rockies.
They've
are
only
on
won 16 games.
Yes, the Colorado Rockies, it took till last week for the Colorado Rockies to win their first series of the year. They have won 16 out of 70 games, something like that. They're on pace to have the least wins in the history of baseball. We're talking a history that goes back 125 years. It's amazing that a team can be that bad.
The Athletics are even better than that.
Yes, and the Athletics, if you remember correctly,
are playing in a minor league
stadium in Sacramento. They're not The White Sox are, so they traded him to the White Sox.
Yeah.
So if you're Aaron Civale, hey, you get to be a starter. Hey, you get to be a starter for one of the worst teams in baseball. So if you're looking to really make your money as a free agent, not helping. But he wanted that. He wanted to not be in the bullpen. They got that. In that trade, they picked up a former number 3 overall pick in 2019. His name is Andrew Vaughn. He's a first baseman slash outfielder, mostly first base. He's like a career. He's a bust. He's considered a bust amongst, you know, top 3 picks generally in every sport are going to be great. It took him quite a while to get to the majors. He's a 240 hitter with like 77 career home runs. But if you're the Brewers, you're going to sit him down in AAA. And as bad as the Brewers are hitting, and if anybody's been paying attention to the Brewers this year,
nope.
Okay, they are the 20th. They're in the bottom third.
Yeah.
Of all baseball, of all.
And what was the guy's name? Vaughn.
Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn. Hmm. Yeah. Not Vaughn.
Not Ricky.
Not Ricky Vaughn. Not. Oh. I wish they could bring Wild Thing. That I would pay to see. That would be fantastic. Nope, Andrew Vaughn. He's going to sit down in AAA, but as bad as the Brewers have been hitting all over the place, like, they have room if he can, if any of the players in AAA can start hitting. There's about 4 spots on the Brewers roster that they could use an actual talent upgrade. Shortstop, third base, corner outfield.
All the spots?
Any spot, they could use some talent. Turns out when you don't spend a lot of money, you could always use some talent. So they took a flyer on a guy who might turn into something. But really, as you were looking, the Brewers over their last 10, 5-5. The Brewers over their last 20, 10-10. The Brewers over their last 40 are 1 game over 500. Not impressive. They are not a playoff team. That's kind of underwhelming to watch. Because in sports, and it doesn't matter if it's baseball, football, basketball, if you're not competing for a championship, you should be competing to be the worst. And currently, as the Brewers are constructed, they can't be the worst. They have really good pitching. They have really good bullpen. But they're not going to win. So they're kind of in a weird spot, similar to where the Bucks are, where you just can't get bad enough to get a great pick, but you don't have enough talent to overcome anybody. So it's, you know, it's a long season still. You still got another 85, 90 games left of the baseball season, but I got a feeling we're going to be coming back once a week to say, hey, they were 5-5 again this week over their last 10.
They're not making the playoffs.
They are not a playoff team. If the playoffs started today, the Brewers were, I believe, like a game and a half or 2 games out of the wild card. And, you know, maybe in baseball, because all it takes is that one prospect, you call him up, and it makes a huge difference. Or that one trade, or that one guy finally, instead of hitting 170, I'm looking at you, Joey Ortiz, maybe you start hitting 225. Maybe you start getting on base once in a while, and you can squeak out a game or two here. But, Yeah, I only want to talk about the Brewers. I don't want to talk about the Cubs or anybody else in baseball, really. I'm a Brewers fan more than I am a baseball fan. So it's kind of not exciting to watch this year.
All right.
So
baseball, done.
That's about done for the week. We'll not concern ourselves too much. The things that happened in baseball otherwise, Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Dodgers, last year of the Angels, big free agent signing 2 years ago with the Dodgers. He was a two-way player. He pitched and hit for the Angels.
Sure.
Put up numbers that people hadn't seen since
50-50 club, right?
Babe Ruth. Yeah. I mean, numbers that are just incredible for a guy who also pitches. But he got an injury and he didn't pitch at all last year.
He did this year.
This last week was the first time he had pitched all year. He's been pitching like bullpen games.
Sure.
Apparently on the side. And his coaches were like, wow, I think he's ready to go. He pitched 2 innings. Got beaned. You know, like, but I mean, turns out baseball is still fun like that. Like, if you want to, you can just, as a pitcher, just bean a dude. So he's back. That's kind of a fun thing to watch.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, it's baseball. He's got a lot of games left. If you're following him one by one by one, you're doing a lot.
Yeah, not me.
It's hard to do with baseball.
Okay. All right. Next sport.
That's why we watch football.
Football.
Because football.
NFL football.
With football, you focus real hard for about 4 months as a fan, right? Mm-hmm. Like you really, and for most teams.
It's more like unfocusing for like three-ish.
Okay. Okay. No, you're a hard fan. That's fair. Because for most teams, you get excited about the beginning of the season.
Yep.
You know, as a fan, you're like, oh, this is our year. You start listing the things they've done. Oh, they signed this guy. They drafted that guy.
Right.
They finally got rid of so-and-so. This is our year. And then for, you know, two-thirds of the team in football, by about week 12 out of 17, week 13 maybe,
they're starting the rookie quarterbacks every rookie you have to go, yeah, let's get them some experience. Yep.
Your third round tackle is now your starting left tackle. A running back you picked up as a free agent, he's getting some reps because your team's out of it already.
AKA Chicago Bears.
Like the Bears, yes. This year, however, our teams are good.
Well, at least mine.
Your team is no better than my team.
I beg to differ.
You would, but I mean, that's why we play the games. Your team's not starting Jordan Love, so that's an advantage to you guys.
Yes.
But you're also starting a quarterback with no track record, which he could be, right? Like, he could turn into...
That's CJ Stroud first year, man.
I mean, Christian Ponder's first year wasn't that good.
Yeah. Christian Ponder wasn't good.
Well, we don't know a lot. That's what I'm saying. With a rookie.
It's different, I think, now from back then. I think there's a lot more tape. There's a lot more better educated guests.
I mean, maybe. I do agree that...
Same thing with Jordan Love.
Yes. No, I'm not a fan of Jordan Love. If you've listened to me for the last couple of years, I would take every quarterback in the NFC North over Jordan Love. And it's not... I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is better...
Yeah, he is.
But he's a heck of a lot less expensive than Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And there's at least the, I don't know what you're going to get with him. With Jordan Love, unless somehow he makes the leap this year, which maybe getting a real first-round wide receiver.
I mean, they've got a new team president.
I liked our old team president. I ran through the things that Brian Gutekunst had done.
Well, at least I can pronounce this
one. Mark Murphy.
Yeah.
Mark Murphy has... The whole thing around the Green Bay Packers has gotten better. The atrium and all that stuff. That's his thing.
Sure.
He brought the draft to Green Bay.
Sure.
That was,
part of it. I have some inside sources on that one.
That's his only job. He brought the draft. He announced a first round wide receiver, and he drafted Aaron
Rodgers. Went out on a bang.
He did. That was fun to watch.
Who was that policy? Do you even know who that is?
I do know who his dad was. His dad, Carmen Policy, was the GM for the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Same. So that's how that connection happens.
The only thing I saw today was the quote was, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, their no contract can be decided this year.
Yeah.
Which means that next year, that's going to be the talk.
And it should be.
And if he doesn't, I mean, if LaFleur doesn't go as far as he did last year, does he... get an extension, or is he done?
I'm fine without the extension because that group, like that Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, they drafted their quarterback.
Yep.
They signed their quarterback.
Yep.
They've made their trades.
Yep.
They've made their big free agent splashes, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
They drafted their first round receivers and tackles and all these defensive players.
Yep.
It's been 5 years.
Yep.
That's their if their ceiling is going to be 12 and 4.
Did they go to the NFC Championship game though?
They did. But if that's their ceiling, if you don't see something that feels like
it's close.
So I guess you could have a thing where they keep going 10-7 for the next 10 years and you say, "Well, he's the most successful coach in Packer history. Look at those numbers."
Yeah.
Because by the numbers, Matt LaFleur winning percentage is higher than Mike Holmgren. It's higher than Mike McCarthy. It's higher than Ray Rhodes, right?
You remember Ray Rhodes?
Remember they hired him for a year? Yeah, that was a fun. It's higher than Mike Sherman.
Mike Sherman,
right? Ouch. Yes, these Mike Tice. Just remember, you had Mike Tice as a coach for.
We had a lot of
coaches. Coaching for Mike Tice. So let us not lick too far.
I think he's actually an assistant someplace now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I just saw him on the sideline somewhere, and I'd like, oh god.
I think it's college too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
So that's kind of your. That's where it's at with that team. Yeah, I would be fine. Start because if once you've paid your quarterback and you've paid your linemen and you've paid your defensive players, that's what your team looks like.
Yep,
they're coming up pretty quickly on having to pay guys like Jalen Reed.
Well, they're not paying Jair Alexander.
They were nice enough to cut him, and that saved themselves $17 million. of nothing, which is fun because it didn't save him any money because there's nobody to sign. There's nobody to sign that's going to, you know,
which
make
is it funny because he signed with Baltimore.
Right.
For what, $6 million with some
$4 million base salary.
Oh yeah, there it is. Yep.
Yeah, that which tells you that's what he was worth on the open market. It wasn't $17 million. He was overpaid by about $13 million because the Ravens are great.
The story was that he took less
to play with Lamar Jackson, yes. Who was yes. Lamar Jackson.
So
was,
he could probably gotten 10,
maybe 8 for to 10. For a team that's not good. Like you could get your Jaguars or something, a team that's
Arizona.
Not. Yeah, so he got himself his $4 million. He's playing for. He's going to play for a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, he'll have his chance.
At a team. Yeah, this is his opportunity. This is the last opportunity.
If he's even on the field.
I mean, that's things. He's played. That's why he's not a Packer, is because you could say that he was good when he played.
He just wasn't ever on the field.
7 games a year is not enough to tell me anything about a guy.
Right.
You're getting what that's doing is telling. Is his backups got a lot more playing time? He got guys like Keyshawn Nixon a job. You know, like if not for Jaire Alexander being hurt, the players who were 4th, 5th, 6th on that depth chart were never going to be noticed. So, yeah, it's not going to be a loss. That losing Jaire Alexander doesn't impact. It's not like Jaire Alexander from about 4 years ago, where he was an All Pro, where if he wasn't on the field, the Packers were worse. The Packers weren't worse with him on or off the field. So,
and some of the antics of him.
Yeah, that thing where you went out during that Carolina game is remarkable, where he just decided to name himself a captain.
Yeah, he didn't care.
And didn't care. Like, that was the clear sign that this guy can be, you can cut that guy anytime.
Yeah.
So that'll be, and I guess there's nothing else really happening in the NFL.
Well, we
didn't
talk about Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Jim Irsay was the owner for the Colts when the Colts moved from Baltimore. He bought the Colts up. Jim Irsay was the long, long, long time owner of the Colts when the Colts had. He got a lot of FaceTime when Peyton Manning was the quarterback.
Yes.
When the Colts were legitimate. He was kind of a, you know, face of the franchise, one of those owners who was really out in front, was a media guy, liked to talk.
He carried a lot of clout.
Yep.
And
amongst
the owners, yes.
he was considered one of the cornerstone owners of the NFL.
Until some prescription.
He got
drugs,
in
but,
some.
But that's. I mean,
he got in some remarkable trouble, if anybody wants to look that up, for what, you know, considering he was a retired rich man who got in trouble for. Just somebody look it up. I don't want to bag on the guy, but his daughters have taken over the team.
Yeah, he didn't have any sons, I believe, that are interested. So he has 3 daughters that are all taking over at different levels. And it sounds like they've been ready for this. You've been grooming them, knowing something like this was going to happen sooner than later. So,
and I got to tell you, if I could, like, being the kid of a rich person seems like a sweet gig, by the way. Just because you know in your early day, like, oh, I'm going to run this franchise. My job is going to be running the Colts. It's not like you're the GM. You're not making personnel decisions. You're just signing checks. Are you good at signing checks or not? So that'll be, you know, he was one of those. Long time owner. I mean, he owned the Colts for 30 years. He'd seen them through some really good and bad times, Super Bowl wins and things like that. So yeah, that was another football thing that happened.
Hmm.
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Or what?
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Yes.
They
got
a raise this last week. I did not know that they were paid so poorly. I assumed,
Oh, yeah.
Nobody, like...
Yeah, they don't get paid.
I did not realize. Yeah, so they got a 400% pay raise.
Oh, wow, good for them.
Yeah. I didn't realize they'd had a documentary series and all these other things.
Well, you know.
Yeah, they're... Because the documentary that they have is a talk about, like, these trying to get a union going for cheerleading, trying to get some health insurance and some benefits to this.
I mean, they're like the iconic cheerleaders of any sport.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. And I know we're in kind of, it's an age of, you know, like, exploitation. You don't want to, you know, equality and all that good stuff. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are as much the NFL as the Dallas Cowboys franchise.
Sure.
For me. Like, I remember Thanksgiving games as a kid being like, oh, cheerleading. That's great. And they've had, hey, man, you watch
it's a
what you watch.
Show.
Yes, I know. Yes. I'll try. I'll try. Okay, to.
Thanks.
So, yeah, Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders got themselves a 400% raise.
So what are they making now, like $25,000 a year?
They're making about $50,000 a year.
Oh, good for them.
You know, that ain't bad per person. Like, I don't know what other benefits are attached to that. I don't know what that counts for travel because, you know, this is a... They travel with the team,
right?
You know,
oh, yeah.
For 5 months a year. They're making personal appearances.
And they're choreographed making, and everything yeah. else. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah so, yeah, it's yeah. I mean, getting paid what they're worth, I don't know how you determine the worth of a cheerleader. But
yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What else happened in the NFL?
Try your Alexander. No.
The all-quarter century team.
Oh, I didn't even see that yet.
Yeah, the all-quarter century team. The NFL is so good. If you want to look up who's on that all quarter century team, it's an interesting thing the NFL does where, like I said, every 25 years they release another 25 it'll be a half century team. So this is all the best players who had their peak from 2000 to 2025.
24.
Yep. I you look at some of that list. For me, it was I remember that guy's prime and that like for me Priest Holmes. I forgot about Priest Holmes. Yeah, you know, like Priest Holmes had a 3-year period in the early 90s or in the early 2000s.
But
he put up numbers that nobody has touched since. He gets really forgotten in today's era of the NFL with guys like
Christian McCaffrey,
Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. But Priest Holmes, he went from being a backup in Baltimore to being for the Chiefs, putting up numbers that.
Only for 6 years.
Yeah, it hadn't touched in such a
long
time.
That's actually a really good career for a running back.
Correct, yeah. Yep. A 6-year, you look at some of these periods of, just dominance.
Yep.
The all quarter century team for me did not feature, because what this did, it broke it down into practice squad. So you know who made the practice squad for the all 25th or the all quarter century team?
No.
Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. The quarterbacks above, yeah, right? The quarterbacks above him, and this makes sense when you list. Yeah. It went Tom Brady,
yep.
Patrick Mahomes,
yep.
and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
It makes sense that, you know, when you start comparing them, when you start...
Well, yeah, from 2000 to 2024, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was a multiple-time MVP, single Super Bowl champion.
One minute left, by the way.
No way. We didn't even talk about anything.
I know. Well, he still could talk.
Oh, that's great. but there were he was the only Packer that was on the quarter-century team.
That was too bad.
You know, there isn't a lot else... great dominant players that the Packers have really right you start trying to think like who was an all pro for the Packers for that extended period of time. You're not talking Amon
Jordy
Green
Nelson.
You're not talking Jordy Nelson was really good underrated career
yeah.
He ended up with 650 career receptions and actually you know who else compared to that Adam Thielen.
Yeah, no.
Did you know Adam Thielen's
yes.
numbers were almost the exact same?
Yeah. I knew that.
I was
that's
looking,
why he was one of those.
Yeah, no,
we
don't
got time. We only got time.
Yeah. What you're going to...
You got 15 seconds left.
Man. Thanks, everybody. This has been a really, really good show. We will do this again next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye.